I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM. His score to the Milagro Beanfield War won him an Oscar in 1989. In fact, the shelves at his home in Santa Fe are laden with awards. Dave Grusin has been a composer, arranger, producer, and of course, jazz pianist and recording artist for over 50 years. He's the subject of a new documentary, which was produced by two fellow musicians and Santa Fe residents, Barbara Bentry and John Rangel. They're with me now. Barbara, John, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Spencer.
Whose idea was it to make a film about Dave Grusin?
I think it was both of us. We were on a car trip, and we were inspired by Herbie Hancock's autobiography, and we saw Dave shortly after that and said, you know, Dave, if Herbie did it, you should do this. And he's like, no one will be interested in that. Well, 4 months later, we worked on him, and he finally agreed.
Terrific. Well, John, why did you guys think of Dave Grusin?
He definitely is a person that I thought would have an appeal to a larger audience than just a handful of jazz musicians that are trying to figure out where he got all his stuff from. You know, I think the fact that he crossed over in film and it started a record label that a lot of us listened to when back in the day, you know, there's definitely a nostalgia component to his life and his story that I think appeals to a bigger audience than just musicians.
And were you impressed by the amount of material he's produced over the years?
Oh, geez. He played with so many great singers, players. Yeah, it's totally overwhelming. Even just to think, like, how could one person do all of that in a lifetime?
Hence the title of the movie. Not enough time to talk about it all because it's so vast.
Would you guys say, after spending all these months examining him and his life, that he's a driven person?
Oh, yeah. Always just the next project, the next project, the next project. And, you know, the fact that he's still touring the world in concert at 84 years old. And everyone that we interviewed said the same thing, that he's just really intense when he's in the studio and a perfectionist. So, yes.
For example, I was preparing him for this. He needed to put these old handwritten charts into a digital format so he could email them for this concert he's doing in Switzerland to the musicians. And literally, we checked every single note. If there was a chord, if there's anything out of place, he spots it. He doesn't miss a thing. You want some water? No, let's get into this. He's like, wow. You know, he's just so focused.
Barbara, film is, of course, a visual medium. Dave is a musician, which is all about sound. So how do you make his story cinematic?
Well, his music is the underscore for the film, and it's so expressive that as a filmmaker, it's really fun to cut to his music. So that's one way. And then all of us, three of us, Dave, John, and I, are all environmentalists, and we brought a lot of nature into this film, which I think is also unusual for a jazz film, because Dave spends a lot of time in nature in Montana, and so there's a lot of beautiful photography in the film that you wouldn't necessarily think you would see in a jazz movie.
And one thing I didn't know reading his biography is that he grew up as sort of a cowboy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, he was on his way to veterinary school, and he had this feeling of guilt because his parents had given him this music education, and so he said, well, you know, maybe I'll try it for a minute. That was it.
John, I know that you've worked with Dave Grusin, and you know him. What did you want this film to explore about him?
You know, honestly, like a reporter, I kind of came with an open mind. You know, I didn't really have an agenda of like, oh, we have to show this stuff. But I really had no idea how much television work he had done. I had no idea how many films he had done. So as a reporter, in a sense, you know, going, oh, wow, there's a lot more here than I had anticipated.
He has worn all these hats in the music business. Do you think that there is one particular field that is his major contribution to music?
I think there are two. I think his arranging. He, for many years, was seen as one of like the top five arrangers in both television and film. And then I think also his piano playing. Grammy-winning recording engineers are in our film, and they say nobody plays the piano like Dave. And you can hear it. We actually were listening to one of his songs just this morning and practically in tears, listening to the care, the choices, the dynamics that he uses. Exquisite, that focus on just quality and expressiveness.
What was that song, Barbara?
The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. Yeah.
As musicians, Barbara, you're a vocalist, John, you're a pianist, you're bound to bring something different to filmmaking, especially to a film about a musician. So what's different in this situation?
We know how to ask questions that make sense to musicians. We know how to put a sequence of ideas together that makes sense because of the musical content. And making films is also very musical. It's all about rhythm, dynamics, and a cello rondo and juxtaposition. And I've found it to be almost three-dimensional experience of making music, but now with the visual, too, and story.
I'm sure there are archival clips in
mm-hmm,
the movie.
Many.
How did you choose them?
Quality of the video, which, you know, from Dave's era is a little bit more challenging. Great performances, and then to just create the progression of his life so that you could see it. But there's nothing in this film that doesn't just make you go, oh, yeah, as a musician. You know, it's just extraordinary moments or events.
Is there one particular clip that you love?
One that came into the film pretty late is the GRP All-Stars in Japan playing this song, Sister Sadie. And it is a lineup of players, the who's who of jazz, and they are all just killing it. And Dave's, you know, playing, and it just lifts your heart because we don't see big bands very much anymore. And we sometimes don't even have a chance to see musicians playing with other musicians. So it's very, very exciting.
What about you, John? Is there a clip that you like?
Actually, to me, he did we have some footage from a solo piano concert that he did in Montana. And it was great because we were actually there right before he was going to go do it. And he was just like, oh, you know, I got to go play this thing. And it's just this TV station in Montana. And we're like going, you know, it sounds horrible, you know, like what he's describing it. We watched it. It's absolutely extraordinary. Beautiful quality video.
Best footage in the
he
film.
Played so brilliantly. And we're going, you can't trust him. It was like so good. And I was just, man, you know, I'm so glad that made it in the film.
So who is this man, John, that we get to know in the film?
I guess it's his kindness. And you don't see that very often in someone with his level of success. I don't really think you know anyone truly, you know, when you see them on film. But I think we're trying to present him in a way that is true. You know, this is really who he is. This is not like some, you know, hack job, you know, where we're trying to make him look good or have everyone say, oh, Dave is so great. He actually specifically said, I don't want that. And so, you know, we really were trying to present his legacy and his accomplishments as a composer, arranger, producer, and a human being, his humanity.
Barbara, you guys just got back from Switzerland.
Yeah.
You premiered the film at the Montreux Jazz Festival, which must have been very exciting. Were you pleased with the reception?
Yes, and wasn't actually a premiere, it was a preview, because it really is still a bit fluid in terms of the finish of the film. But it was really surprising because it's different when you play it for your friends or your family or people that are Dave Grusin fans. And we had people that came into the audience that were there for a really wide variety of reasons. They were, you know, between other concerts or they were trying to get out of the heat. Well, Quincy Jones was with us. He did a Q&A with us, and he was listed in the program that he was going to be there. So there were a whole lot of people that were there just to see Quincy and get close to him. So it was a really interesting demographic. And to see just across the board that everybody came down and approached us afterwards, and people that didn't fit a profile, if you will, of being a Dave Grusin fan or even a jazz fan, or were just really uplifted by the story and by the music. And I think that Dave's music has that quality. You know, it's from the heartland. It's really well thought out and really carefully executed. And then on top of that, his inspiring, positive life story. It's just bringing some beauty into the world that I think we're all really craving right now. And again, it feels like it's bringing people together. And I think that's really about as good as we could have hoped for with the film.
Barbara Bentry and John Rangel have made a new full-length documentary about the prolific musician Dave Grusin. Not Enough Time screens July 22nd at the Lensic in Santa Fe. John, Barbara, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.